Well, I wonder, have you ever had a time when you were perfectly at peace? When you could just take a deep breath and everything was great? Last summer, my husband and I were on a pontoon boat and we were at Lake Anna and we had found this cove that was secluded, which is sometimes hard in the middle of the summer, but there was nobody else around. There were no speedboats zipping by. There were no jet skis. There was no tubers going by. It was just us in this beautiful and peaceful cove, and we were just having a wonderful time just being there. We didn't have any place we needed to be. We didn't have anything we were particularly worried about at that time. We were just on the boat, and he fished, and I read, and he read, and I fished, and we went swimming in the cool water, and we were in the beautiful sunshine, and there was a moment on that boat, and I thought, all is right with the world. It was this so peaceful. And then we noticed this dark cloud in the sky. And the wind, you know, how it just starts. If you've been on the water, all of a sudden it starts, and we're like, okay, it's time to go back. It's time to go back to shore. So we pulled up the anchor. We did all the things that one does, and we got on the boat, and we turned the corner out of the cove into the main lake, and it looked a lot like this. There was this big storm in the distance, and you could see the lightning striking over there, and there were boats all over the lake. All of a sudden, there were speedboats, and there were pontoon boats, and there were little fishing boats, and there was a rowboat, there was a kayaker, and everybody is scrambling like these little crazy ants on jet skis to get across the water, and they were trying to get to safety. And suddenly, what had been this peaceful, serene experience became nuts. And I think everybody that was on those boats suddenly realized that they were afraid. And they were desperately trying to get to the safety of the shore. And so I want to ask you, have you ever felt like you were in a turbulent and troubled time? Like this peace that you had that was so beautiful suddenly goes up and it's gone and you don't know what's happening and the wind is blowing and the waves are rocking and you're not sure if you're going to be okay and you feel fear growing in your gut and you wonder, what can I do to get to shore? I think that there is a journey from this place of fear and turbulence to this place of peace that we long to be at. It's a journey. But I want to talk about that today. And I hope you'll come with me on this conversation. I read a story in the Washington Post this week. I don't know about you, but I'm trying to kind of curate my news feed. I don't want to read too much or watch too much, but I don't want to watch enough to know what's going on. Are any of you in that same boat? It's like, there's a lot, thank you, yes. Lots of nodding and hand raising. I read a story in the Washington Post about a family that has to move because of the changes in job requirements. And they're worried, and they're anxious. And honestly, they're angry. And then I talked to my neighbor, and she works for the government, and she was having to lay off all these people. And she didn't want to do it. And then I was on a Zoom call with a young woman who I knew in high school. She's all grown up now, as they do. About a year ago, she got her dream job with USAID. She'd always wanted to help vulnerable people. That's who she was as a girl in high school. And the day before our call, she had been laid off. And her boat was rocking. And she was fearful, and she was anxious, and she didn't know what to do. There are moments in life when the wind and the rain and the lightning come out of nowhere. It's not that we don't expect storms in our life. We have lived long enough to know that the storms will come. But sometimes it's the suddenness of the storm that we wonder about and we're not sure what to do. We become afraid for all the boats on the lake. As your pastor, as all of us, as pastors, we have this incredible privilege of hearing stories from people. It's a sacred trust that we have. And none of us would ever share a story without permission. I want you to know that. But I also want to tell you that today, here in this sanctuary, and to those of you that are online in this sanctuary, in that way, there are people who are afraid. And they're worried. And they're not sure what's coming next. And the wind is blowing, and the boat is rocking, and they're afraid they might capsize. And they want to know if someone is going to be there to help them. It's a difficult place to be. And as that worry surrounds us, and as that worry is a part of us, we wonder, what can we do? And I want to remind you, there are all sorts of storms raging about us. There is the storm of a couple who have a teenage daughter, and suddenly she's not doing well in school, and they don't know what's going on, and she won't talk to them. And they're worried. There's a young couple who desperately want a child, and they've just learned that it's not going to happen this time either. There's a man who recently lost his wife, and he's not sure what's next for him. And all of these stories come into our lives, and we don't know what to do with them, and suddenly the air in the room goes out, even as the wind is blowing and the boat is rocking. I wonder if you've felt that. I wonder if now, in this time that you're in, you feel maybe a little fear in your gut and a little anxiety, or maybe you know someone who does. And if that's the case, I have some good news. Isn't that great? Because so far, it's not been that great news. But I have good news for you. You remember the disciples? You heard Jeff read about the disciples. They're in the boat. Let me set the scene for the disciples, okay? The disciples had just come down off of this mountain where the feeding of the 5,000 took place. Remember this great miracle? 5 loaves, 2 fish. Everybody gets fed. There's leftover. They are glowing from this miracle that has happened. Jesus has gone up to the mountains to pray. He's gone somewhere. They don't really know where he is. This happens a lot with Jesus. And so the disciples are like, okay, let's get in the boat and let's go to the next place. Apparently it was Capernaum. So they go down to the shore. They get in the boat. Important little fact to know, it is nighttime. This is a boat like they get in. I wanted to show you this boat. This is called the Jesus boat. It was found in the mud in the Sea of Galilee not that long ago. It is thought to be an actual fishing boat from the time the disciples would have been in the boat. You notice it is not very big. I've been able to stand there, and it's maybe from the pulpit, like over to here. It is not a big boat. And the disciples get in this boat, and they decide to set sail. And John tells us that the lake became rough because a strong wind was blowing. Remember, it's nighttime, so maybe they didn't see the wind and the waves coming. They didn't see the clouds, but they feel the boat start to rock. And as the storm builds, so does their fear. They've probably lost their sense of direction. They get frantic to get somewhere safe. And so they're rowing, and they're pulling as hard as they can. And if you've ever tried to row against the waves and the wind, it is hard, hard work. Now, what's great is there's 12 of them in the boat, right? And so it's probably not just one person on each oar. It's probably a couple people on each oar, and they're all kind of helping each other pull, and they're trying to get through the wind and the waves, and they're going, and they're just trying to get to safety. And John says, when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, is 3 or 4 miles a long way? Yes, it is, against the wind. It's incredible. Read this with me. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the lake. Pause for a minute. They thought he was a ghost, because they're scared, all right? They saw it. Read with me. And coming near the boat, and they were... Oh, you did that so well. They weren't just terrified. They were terrified, as you would be in the middle of a storm on a lake, and you see a figure, and you don't know who it is. They were terrified because the storm is swirling around them and they don't know what's going to happen next. And then, this is so incredible. This is a theological gem. I want you to come with me. We're going to geek out just a little bit. This is a theological gem in Scripture because Jesus stands on the waves. Who knows how he does that? That's why it's a miracle. He stands on the waves. He looks at them and he says this. Read this with me. It is I. Do not be afraid. The storm is blowing. The boat is rocking. The disciples are pulling for all they're worth. And Jesus says, it is I. Do not be afraid. Let me take you down this road. The Greek translation of the word, it is I, is ego eami. You want to say that with me so you can impress your friends later? Ego eami. Ego eami. Okay, that's the Greek written there. It's Koine Greek, in case you're interested. That's what the New Testament was written in at the time. And it literally means, are you ready? I am. Some of you already recognize this. Jesus uses the words I am 7 times in the Gospel of John. 7 times he says these words. He says, I am the bread of life, I am the way, I am the vine. He says it over and over and over. But the really amazing thing about these words is he is referencing himself back to the Hebrew Bible, to Moses. Moses was this leader of the Hebrew people. He is a key figure in faith. He is revered. He is revered. And one day, Moses is walking in the wilderness, and he doesn't know what God is going to ask him to do. And he's basically in a storm. He doesn't know what's next. He doesn't know which direction to turn. And as he's walking, he comes upon this. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, Moses, in the flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. And God said, I am. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I am. And Jesus is standing on the water, in the storm, in the wind, in the rain, and says, I am. This is key to understanding the lordship of Christ. This is key to understanding why we come and we stand under or sit in front of an empty cross. This is the key to the lordship of Christ. This is something that we must hold on to. Jesus is connecting himself to one of the most significant revelations of God in the Hebrew Bible. I am is a name that signifies God's eternal existence and power. Jesus is telling the disciples and anyone who dares to read these scriptures that he is God. He's not just a man with magic. He's not just a prophet with some special gift. He actually holds the power of God. The term we use, you'll hear this at Christmas a lot, the term we use is incarnate. Say that one with me, incarnate. It means fully human, fully divine. And Jesus looks at the disciples in the boat, in their fear, and with human compassion and omnipotent power says, it is I. Do not be afraid. Do you hear the humanness? And do you hear the power in that? As he speaks these words to the disciples, they recognize him, and they take him into their boat. Now, do they really get who he is yet? I suspect they don't quite. They're beginning to get it. But you just read scriptures and follow us for the next time through Holy Week. They almost get it, but not quite. But what they know is this man, this teacher who they've been following, loves them and wants to help them and wants to care for them. And he gets in the boat with them. And when Jesus gets in the boat with them, John says, immediately they reach the shore. Now, here's what I want you to notice. The waves don't magically disappear. The wind doesn't just go away. It doesn't say that in the scripture. It just says, immediately they reach the shore, and the shore equals safety. As soon as these disciples invite Jesus into the boat, they were calm. Not the wind, not the waves, not the clouds. They were calm. That's the heart of this story. It's about Jesus' powerful presence in the middle of a storm. They experience the great I am. Friends, if you feel you're on a stormy sea right now, on a tiny boat, or you know someone who is, I want you to hold on to the I am. Because I tell you, there are people all around who are on boats that are rocking. I'm going to give you three suggestions of things that you might do to experience the power of the great I am, to remember that this Jesus who we worship is fully human and fully divine. Number one, set apart time in nature. Set apart time in nature. I am telling you to go take a hike. Take a hike, take a walk, take a stroll, take a ride. Get in nature. And look around you at the beauty that is out there. And don't just try to get to 10,000 on this thing, which I'm guilty of doing sometimes. It's like, oh, I've got just a few more, and I'm walking along like this. But stop and look at what you see. Sometimes we're working here, and it's, you know, as all of you do, it just gets really busy, and it's like, I can't do this anymore. And then I just go out and I walk around the parking lot. And the other day, I was walking around the parking lot, and I was down at that end of the parking lot, and then I looked up, and Pam Borland, who's Gina's administrative assistant, was up here, and we're both just walking. It's just two laps around the parking lot. But you breathe, and you notice the trees, and you notice the flowers, and you notice the birds. So don't count the steps, just notice. And I would invite you not to take that moment to listen, to make that phone call that you need to make and say, well, I'm walking, but I'm also talking, and that's good. No, notice what's around you. I also suggest you don't listen to political podcasts at that time. Just walk, breathe, notice. It is no coincidence that Moses was wandering in the wilderness. He was walking by himself when he discovers the burning bush, and God says, I am. So number one, take a walk. Take a hike, however you want to say it. Number two, let me make sure I'm telling you correctly. Number two, have a conversation with someone that you trust. You know, what's interesting is the disciples are in the boat at this time, and they've known each other for this is probably a year, year and a half into the ministry. They've been together for at least that long. They know each other. They trust each other. They're in the boat, and it's rocking, and they're terrified, but they're like, hey, John, are you still holding on? Simon, don't let go. Like, they're with each other. They know each other in the boat. Have a conversation with someone you trust. My experience is when you're in a terrible storm, there is nothing better than knowing you are not manning your oars alone. And then three, if you can't take a walk and it's a difficult time, maybe you're commuting a really long way again, and you need some calm and some peace in the storm, listen to a podcast. Maybe not that political podcast, but listen to a podcast. And I took the liberty of putting together three podcasts that I like. They are, well, let me tell you, the first one is Everything Happens with Kate Bowler, who's a professor at Duke Seminary. She's amazing. Listen to her, she's great. The next one is The Happiness Lab. Everything Happens is a spiritual podcast. The Happiness Lab with Dr. Lori Santos is a, she's at Harvard, I think, one of those up there. And she, thank you, yes, Harvard. And she just talks about happiness. Why are we happy? Why are we not happy? What do we do? It's, she's really interesting, very positive. Number three, Everything Belongs, goes through some of Richard Rohr's books. Richard Rohr is a Franciscan priest who is amazing if you haven't read him. You can take a picture of that. I'll give them to you later if you want. Maybe we can post them. They're just really good to listen to, and they take your mind down this spiritual path of trusting Jesus and thinking of what good you can do rather than the worries that you're in. So these you might do. You might listen to these podcasts. Here's what I know. Some of you are feeling alone. Some of you feel like you're in that boat by yourself. And this might be the time to join a group. I don't know how often we say that from up here. Join a group. Get in a small group. Get in a Bible study. Do that, because when you are with other people, suddenly you're rowing the boat together. And if you don't have a group, it is not too late to join the pastor's Bible study on Wednesday nights. We would love to see you. You don't have to have done the reading. You can just show up. Seek out one of us, and we will help you. There are people that sit at tables, and they have room for you in their boat. Come and be a part of it. You can talk to Bill Gray, our director of Grow Ministries, and he will help you connect with a group. But come on Wednesday. Imagine what it would be like to go through a turbulent time like we're in, and then look back and say, I went to a church where nobody had to be alone. I went to a church that sought out community with one another, online, in person. We sought out community with each other. How often do you leave a small group, or do you leave a conversation with your friends, or even a worship service, and you say, somebody said exactly what I needed to hear today. Isn't that amazing? Friends, that's not amazing. That's the power of the great I am. That is God with you. That is God saying, I am here. I can help you. So let me ask you this question. Have you invited Jesus into your boat? Or are you trying to row this thing all by yourself? Are you pushing your way through? You're pulling on the oars? You know, those disciples could have kept rowing their way out of trouble. They could have tried, and they would have pulled and pulled, but when they invited Jesus into their boat, everything changed. What if today is the day you stop trying to handle it on your own and instead say, Jesus, I need you in this boat with me. Say that out loud with me. Careful, it's a prayer. You ready? Jesus, I need you in this boat with me. It's amazing what can happen. We have to remember that there is power. Sometimes I think the reason we forget to invite Jesus into the boat is because secretly we wonder if he still has the power to change lives, because it's been hard. Not just changed to make us feel better, but to transform us for good. Friends, we worship a powerful God. This empty cross is the biggest sign of that. But there are so many other signs around of what a powerful God we worship. So if you're wondering what good and how does the power of God work in lives, I want to tell you a story. As Melody and Laura told us, this is the 25th anniversary year of our partnership with the Child Reintegration Center, and a couple years later with Mercy Hospital. 25 years. 25 years ago, this man, John Yambasu, Reverend John Yambasu, here, he eventually became the bishop, but that's John. And he had this vision in the aftermath of a brutal civil war in Sierra Leone. And as he looked around, he was like, how do I care for these people? And he noticed children sleeping under tables in the marketplace, children stealing food, children doing all sorts of things, and he had this vision because he invited Jesus into his boat. He had this vision that perhaps he could partner with other churches and they could find a place of safety for these kids. And so he partnered with Florist United Methodist Church first, and then all these other churches. And over time, life has changed, and these children found a place of safety. And shortly after that was founded, a couple of other people who rode with Jesus in their boat founded Mercy Hospital, because they knew that there needed to be a place where women and children could find relief, where women could give birth safely, where children could come for treatment of diseases that were so common. That was 25 years ago. And that happened because people trusted in the great I Am. I've had the privilege of being a part of this ministry for 25 years. It's hard to believe. But several years ago, I was sitting in a clinic, a village clinic, as many of us who have gone have sat in, and I sat in a village clinic, and my job was to take this sample that was given to me and drop it onto a card, and as it dropped on the card, it would tell me if this woman had HIV/AIDS. It was actually made me nervous. And people would come through, and there were not that many, but every now and then it would drop and the line would form. It's kind of like a pregnancy test, you know, the line comes up. And one time this line came up, and honestly, I felt the boat rock. And I picked it up, and I, you know, tried to keep that face, and I walk over to the nurse, and I say, "It's positive." And she looks at me, and she says, "By the grace of God, we have discovered that this woman has HIV/AIDS, and now, because we know that, she will meet with our doctor, and he will tell her, if you will come to the clinic on a regular basis, we will give you the medication that will make you well, help you live your life." And that woman can live because of the power of God. And do you understand what happens when a mother lives in Sierra Leone? If the mother lives, the children live. The children go to school and they have food. And if the mother lives, she injects peace and calm into her family by making and selling charcoal for a little bit of income. If she lives, the world around her becomes stable. That's the power of God. And can I tell you something I know about this woman? She's rowing in a boat. But her boat only had one oar and it had holes in the bottom to start with. And she is rowing for all she's worth. And friends, she needs the power that we can bring to help her get safely to shore. It's amazing. But I have to tell you that today, when she goes to Mercy Hospital for the medicine, they don't have it. Because $54 billion of aid was taken out. And so we have to ask the question, what are we to do? Are we willing to get in the boat with other people and get a bunch of us on the oars and start pulling on that and see if we can help her get to safety? Do I know how we're going to do that? I have no idea. But nobody knew how to start a child rescue center or a hospital. Countless lives have been saved. And so the question is, are you willing to help someone else, even when your own boat is rocking? Even when the wind is blowing around you, are you willing to get in someone else's boat who doesn't have two oars and maybe has some holes in the boat? And friends, that just doesn't happen in Sierra Leone. It happens right here in Herndon, Virginia. It happens in your church. So what are we to do? And my suggestion is, you lean on the great I Am. And you remember that there is power with Christ. And you walk and you talk and you listen. And you remember that the Jesus who walked on water, the Jesus who got the disciples safely through the storm to the shore. The same Jesus who helped Flores United Methodist Church create the Child Reintegration Center and Mercy Hospital and helps children with She Believes in Me and Grace Ministries and talks to women who come in and are fearful and teaches children how to believe in this Jesus. This church can hold on to the power of God, and together we can make a difference. But you have to remember this phrase, it is I. Do not be afraid. As you come forward in just a minute to receive Holy Communion from this Jesus who loves you both humanly and omnipotently, say, Jesus, I want you in the boat with me. What's next? Amen.